Beef jerky.
Alberto beef jerky. You get out what you put in.
Refers to Alberto's all-natural line of beef jerky. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
I got it!
Yes! You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
Coming to you live from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place for Big Ten Media Days, it's the Todd Brodelkamp Show.
And here we are, day two of Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Welcome into another edition of the Todd Brodelkamp Show. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. And all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, KGYM, bringing you round-the-clock coverage from Big Ten Media Days yesterday and today. If you missed yesterday's program, we got great feedback on it, and I believe it's honest and true, and I believe you, along with everybody else, one of the best shows we've ever done on KGYM. The podcast is available at KGYMradio.com. Yesterday, we got caught up with Kirk Ferentz, Minnesota coach P.J. Fleck stopped by, Chuck Long, a number of guests. We don't quite have that star power today, Alex.
It's pretty close, though.
But it's still a great program from start to finish, and we do remind you, if you're tuning in wondering, where's Scott, where's Mark, where's the gym class? Well, they're not on today because we're here in Chicago. So feel free to tune in tomorrow when Scott and Mark are back on the air, 3 to 4. But it's a supersized edition of the Todd Brodelkamp Show. We're going to kick things off coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll hear from Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell. Today at 4 o'clock, the new quarterback of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Tanner Lee, is going to join us. The Tulane transfer gives us a little bit of an insight into the Iowa-Nebraska rivalry when he sits down with us. And then at 4:30, Scott Docterman from thelandof10.com will go over some of the Iowa stories from yesterday, some of the Big Ten pieces from this afternoon. At 5 o'clock, Dan Murphy of ESPN.com will stop by. And then on the back half of the program tonight, a couple new faces on the BTN, new voices that you'll be hearing, calling games and offering analysis. James Laurinaitis, the former outstanding Ohio State linebacker, spent a little bit of time in the NFL as well, recently retired. We mentioned yesterday that his screen test with the BTN was fantastic. We'll sit down and meet with him at 5:30 today. Matt Vandenberg at 6 o'clock, the Iowa wide receiver, doing a little running and getting back on the field. And then to go along with James Laurinaitis, we'll bring day two of our coverage to close with former Michigan wide receiver Braylon Edwards, the first man in Big Ten history to have three 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Former number three overall draft pick Braylon Edwards at the University of Michigan, a member of the BTN broadcast crew. So plenty to bring for you today. As things have wound down here in Chicago, the kickoff luncheon is over. Some of our brethren on Radio Row have packed up and headed home, and some of us are still here, and that includes us. We want to hear from you today on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. That number is 319-366-1600. You can also tweet me, at Todd Brodelkamp. You can tweet Alex, at AlexKuhn523, and at KGYM Radio as well. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow, a regular edition of the program from 4 until 7. Trying to get Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com rescheduled. We normally talk with him on Tuesdays, the MLB trade deadline right around the corner. Cubs and White Sox playing on the north side of Chicago today. Chris Bryant ejected from the game because Lance Barksdale has no idea what a ball and a strike are, but the Cubs on top of the White Sox 4-2. I say that fully knowing that Scott Unash, a White Sox fan, could push one button and take us off the air right now. But that
was, are we on the air?
Absolutely no? Ridiculous umpiring in that game so far today, but we'll see how things play out. Big news for the Cardinals today, too. They brought up Harrison Bader, one of their top prospects, as Dexter Fowler goes on the disabled list. So we'll touch on some other big stories as well. We mentioned the NBA last night, but again today, it's all about the Big Ten here at Big Ten Media Days in the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place. Give you a quick wingman update. Wingman making a reappearance today. He's down to about, he's got about a third of the licorice supply left. Nobody has used the bug soother, although there There was a little bit of a mosquito issue earlier today. There was one buzzing around here. So
there was.
Maybe that actually would come in handy. But
I think I caught it.
If you follow Brent Urena on Twitter of the Big Ten Network, he actually stopped and took a picture of the wingman today. So we got a little bit of pub from Wingman. He's been very popular, and next year we've been told to bring better candy.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Because not everybody likes Twizzlers. Now, Rob Norton, who's sitting to my left, he thinks deviled eggs next year.
Mm. I don't know about that, but like you said, Brent Urena of the Big Ten Network came over here, took a picture of Wingman, and basically gave us some pub. But he thinks that maybe next year we need to supply better candy. But look, there's one-third of that huge box of Twizzlers left. I think the Twizzlers have gone over quite well, and I think if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Well, Paul Keels, who's the play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, who was sitting to our right, was probably responsible for about 10 or 12 pieces of that licorice making a disappearance on us. But the Ohio State guys have packed up and are headed out. Jim Harbaugh earlier today walked right past us, didn't stop, and maybe we need milk next year for Jim Harbaugh. But this is a guy who has been all over the place today. As a matter of fact, I mentioned him right here, and he's walking past Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh with a little bit of a limp.
Feel free to
take some licorice, coach. It's good stuff.
Coach,
nope, he's going to continue walking on. But
he could hear us. He
was in the lobby
like
earlier today holding court, and I bet the media was 15 deep at Jim Harbaugh. And from across the room, all I could hear was, I think it's Blue 80. What's the call? He's done it like four or five times today. And just at the top of his lungs. And you could hear him all the way across the room. That leads us to our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com.
It is Blue 80.
Blue 80. Is Jim Harbaugh crazy, or is Jim Harbaugh crazy like a fox? Vote now, KGYMRadio.com. Emil's Hideaway in Cedar Rapids bringing you the poll question there on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Now, you guys actually saw, I say you guys, producer Kyle Mann is here with us as well. You saw Jim Harbaugh last night at the hotel bar, and you have a disturbing development here in the myth of Jim Harbaugh. You are wondering if perhaps he wore the same clothes today as he had on last night.
Now, Kyle, back me up. And we have picture evidence of this because Jim Harbaugh was standing near the elevators about running parallel to the hotel bar last night and chatting with a few people. And actually, Kyle, he was basically hitting the button for anybody that wanted to come to the elevator.
You would have thought he worked for the hotel. He was just standing there chatting it up with some friends, pressing the elevator button for anybody who walked up. He wasn't waiting for the elevator. He was just there helping.
But he was wearing the same khakis that you usually see him on game day and the same Michigan hat that you, or at least one that looks very similar to that hat. And honest to goodness, he's wearing the same thing today.
The older he gets, the more and more he looks like Michael Douglas's character in the movie Falling Down. I think of that every time I see Jim Harbaugh. If he could just transition to a white button-up collared T-shirt and some black slacks. But I'm going to go ahead and guess that he just travels with three suitcases, one of them filled with khakis, one of them filled with that blue T-shirt, and then just a small suitcase just filled with the Michigan baseball cap that he's wearing.
Now Kyle got... I want to run this by you, Todd, because you know the etiquette here. Kyle took a picture with him and Jim in the background. And there are a lot of pictures of Jim today being the only coach without a suit on. Should we post that picture on KGYM radio for people to decide if he's wearing the same clothes today?
Absolutely.
Why all right,
not?
Kyle. You have the login.
No, it doesn't count as a selfie because Harbaugh was just in the background. But photographic proof that Jim was out and about last night. We saw Penn State coach James Franklin out. Now, Harbaugh was the star of day two at Big Ten Media Days, but Minnesota coach P.J. Fleck, who joined us on the program yesterday, once again tried to steal the show at his podium time today. The Big Ten Media Day usually allows coaches 15-minute blocks at the podium on their given day, and they offer an address, and then they take a few questions, and you get an opportunity elsewhere during the day to ask more questions. But P.J. Fleck spoke, what was the final word count? Over 3,000. They broke it down to 3.2 words per second. Was that the final breakdown? And P.J., this guy, I tell you, is something. And you take a look around, you've got Jim Harbaugh, you've got P.J. Fleck. You've really got some salesmen now in the Big Ten. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how everybody adapts to that moving forward, because you've also got some old-school guys like Kirk Ferentz, Nebraska's Mike Riley, who was sitting next to us earlier today having a chat with Paul Keels before he hit the various Nebraska radio stations here on Radio Row. So there's this really interesting dichotomy in the Big Ten right now between this new era of college coaches who are embracing Twitter and embracing, quote-unquote, going viral, for lack of a better term, and then the guys that like to do it old school. So that was not lost on me here in Chicago over the last 48 hours.
I think it is absolutely fantastic for the conference as well. And you hear about the Big Ten nationally, and for those of us that don't live in Big Ten country, for people that don't live in Big Ten country and don't follow the conference, you hear, oh, well, it's boring, it's old school, it's this, it's that. Well, yes, at some schools they have old school coaches. They have guys that are tenured. Iowa has the longest tenured coach in college football. But you are bringing in the 2017 version of what a young up and coming coach looks like. P.J. Fleck is case in point of that. He's a great recruiter. He has a lot of energy, and I think that those contrasting styles are going to benefit the Big Ten, especially on a national landscape, because it appeals to so many different people. When you look at a conference like the Pac-12, when they were in their heyday just a few years ago, when Jim Harbaugh was the coach at Stanford, you had the contrasting styles with Stanford running pro-style offense. You had Oregon, the up-tempo, high-flying offense, and I thought that they at that time had their best ratings in quite a long time. So I think that it's good for the conference. I think P.J. Fleck and Jeff Brohm kind of contrasting to Kirk Ferentz and Mark D'Antonio. And then you have a salesman like Jim Harbaugh in there. So it is great for the conference, and I think it's going to help it grow even more, especially with the new TV contracts and more eyes on the Big Ten.
Not a ton of hard news coming out of Chicago on day two, but I did happen to be in the ballroom earlier today when Bill Carollo, who is the director of officiating for the Big Ten, had his moment at the podium. And there is a rule change in 2017 that, if applied retroactively to last season, would have negated what the BTN had voted the number one play in the league last year. And that is the Marcus Allen blocked field goal in the Ohio State-Penn State game. Under the new rules, that would have been illegal. There would have had to have been a flag on that. If you're unfamiliar with that particular play, it led to Penn State's upset of the Buckeyes last season. And now there's strict rules about where you can take off. Basically, the leaping block is dead.
So you can't leap over the center. Is that correct? Over the long snapper.
I don't think you can take off at all. I'm going off what I heard earlier today with Bill Carollo and then the stories that have circulated around there. But
okay, so you can't leap from behind the neutral zone, period. So
no.
From behind the line of scrimmage, you cannot take off over a player.
Last year legal, this year illegal, as Bill Carollo says. So the play of the single biggest play in the Big Ten last year in one of the biggest games in the conference, legal last year, illegal this year.
And that's interesting to me, because they've made rules in the past where, and it's in effect now, where you can't line up over the long snapper. It's meant to protect the long snapper. And for a while, the long snapper would have nothing to worry about until you saw in the NFL and in college football players leaping over the long snapper and blocking field goals. And now, seemingly for a safety issue for the person leaping, because they don't want him getting upended and landing on his head, they're outlawing it.
And speaking of safety issues, there are a lot of people buzzing today about the national story about the brain studies on the over 200 former NFL players, and 99% of the brains that were studied showed evidence of CTE. And I think had that story come out yesterday or maybe a couple days ago, it's probably a little bit bigger story here in Chicago where people would have been getting reaction to that. But certainly the game of football as we know it and have known it moving forward in 2017 and beyond, there are probably going to have to be some issues that are addressed as far as player safety goes. And this is just the latest in that. But other than that, I don't think there are any major rules changes this year. But I thought that was kind of interesting because this play changed two teams' seasons last year for the most part, although they both wound up in the college football playoff system, and Ohio State didn't do very well. Penn State lost the Rose Bowl to USC despite some revisionist history from a radio station that shall remain nameless here on Radio Row, but it was still one of the most entertaining college football games of the season last year, bowl game-wise, when USC beat Penn State. And so there's a little bit of a minor rule change here at Big Ten Media Days. Bill Carollo reporting, or confirming, I should say, that basically the leaping block is off the table in 2017 and beyond. Again, if you're just joining us, a great program coming up for you today. Josie Jewell will join us at the bottom of the hour. 4 o'clock hour, Nebraska quarterback Tanner Lee and Scott Docterman from the Land of Ten. 5 o'clock hour, Dan Murphy at ESPN.com and new BTN analyst James Laurinaitis. And then we'll close things up at 6 o'clock with Matt Vandenberg and Braylon Edwards, also a newcomer to the BTN. A beanball war has broken out on the north side of Chicago between the Cubs and the White Sox. John Lackey apparently has hit three batters today, and Chris Beck of the White Sox drilled Ian Happ. It was ruled retaliation, so Lance Barksdale has ejected him from the game. What a mess going on the north side of Chicago as the Crosstown Cup Series continues between Joe Maddon's Cubs and Rick Renteria's White Sox. It's a great time to be in Chicago right now. You got Cubs-White Sox going on, Big Ten Media Days here at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place, and the rumor is that we will be at another location next year. The rumor is that the Media Days will be moving to the Marriott downtown on Michigan Avenue, so I would be all for that. Not only would I get some Marriott points in my account, but there's a little bit more to do around that particular area than here at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place. Again, the text line is available for you to reach out. Any questions you guys have about the Big Ten this season, we'd love to try to answer them for you. 319-366-1600. Also here in Chicago the last couple days and conspicuously absent, although we know the reasons why, University of Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta. We saw him and his wife last night. It looked like they were coming back from dinner. Saw him and Barbara Burke having breakfast today, or having coffee, I should say, talking about some issues. But Gary Barta, normally made available to the media, the Iowa media at Big Ten Media Days, he almost always speaks, and he did not have any media availability this year, but we did get to hear from him a little bit last week, and obviously that's by design, given the summer that Gary Barta has had. But you would have thought maybe with some of the scheduling news that was out there and the endowment that was announced a couple days ago with the money from the Tippy family, that maybe Gary Barta would have spoken here in Chicago, but that was not the case. And speaking of, there's a lot of stuff to get to, and we'll do it today before 7 o'clock because there's a lot to get to, not only with the Hawkeyes, but the rest of the Big Ten West as well. And we'll be a little heavy on the Big Ten West here on day two of the program. It's 3:22. We've got other stuff going on in the world today, and Kyle's going to join us here in just a few minutes to bring you your first Big Board update of the day. Again, a huge thank you to Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, not only for sponsoring the countdown to kickoff, our preseason look at the other 13 teams in the Big Ten, but also for sponsoring our two-day trip here to Chicago. We appreciate that as well. So Coach's Corner Sports Pub, you'll have an opportunity to be there with us this Friday for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. And we'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little bit. It's 3:23. We'll step aside here from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place, and when we return, we'll have your first Big Board update of the afternoon. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn live from Chicago and Big Ten Media Day. Back with more after this.
Your kids can't wait to play football, so sign them up for the Metro Youth Football Association's 2017 season. There's a new flag football program for third graders with pads to introduce tackle techniques with no kid-to-kid contact. Fourth through eighth graders play tackle, and everybody will learn and have a blast. Your child's safety is Metro Youth's first priority, with only high-quality fitted youth equipment and all coaches certified with USA Football. Practice begins August 14th, and equipment fittings have already started, so register now at MetroYouthFootball.com.
Come rock the chalk in downtown Iowa City. This unique chalk art event is presented by Midwest Fun Bank, and the fun is free for the whole family. Come see beautiful chalk art displays, pick up some chalk and create your own masterpiece, and enjoy excellent live music. Join in this family celebration of creativity Friday, August 11th at the corner of Clinton and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Chalk this one up to a super-duper time with Midwest One. Get all the details at rockthechalkic.com.
All right, Dean, time for your annual review.
Take me out to the Twins game.
Okay.
Buy me some cheese curds and ice-cold drafts.
Yeah, well, your lunches go pretty long.
I'm in need of sunshine, not a chat.
This is mandatory.
I want epic innings, not balance sheets.
Okay, okay, I get it. Well, enjoy. And have a hot dog for me.
Change up your summer with the Minnesota Twins. Single-game tickets are on sale now at twinsbaseball.com.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
As our time in Chicago winds down, we welcome you back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place, day two of Big Ten Media Days. The kickoff luncheon officially in the books. A couple new coaches introduced in Big Ten country today. P.J. Fleck gets most of the headlines and the attention at the University of Minnesota, but you've got Jeff Brohm, who's taking over at Purdue from Western Kentucky, and we saw Jeff Brohm in the lobby last night when we were on our way to dinner, and it talks a little bit to the anonymity of the Purdue football coach who could sit in the lobby of the hotel at Big Ten Media Days and not really be bothered by anybody, but I recognized him, and Jeff Brohm was one of 13 coaches to wear a suit and tie today to the annual coaches photo. The only person who didn't have one on, well, it's the guy who hobbled past us a while ago in Jim Harbaugh at the University of Michigan. But Kirk Ferentz getting plenty of attention here in Chicago as the dean of Big Ten Media. And as we mentioned, Purdue football coach Jeff Brohm, he happens to be walking by with his entourage right now on the way back to West Lafayette. So I think that's going to be...
You guys want some Twizzlers?
I think it's going to be, okay. Not even appeared to be his son. The Twizzlers, I'm going to lose my bet. Because
Twizzlers.
I thought for sure the Twizzlers would be gone by the time we were off the air today at 7 o'clock. But we'll see. I have faith in some of the hotel staff maybe coming along and picking up the pace here. Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell going to join us next. But before we can do that, we go to Kyle Mann, who has your first Midwest One Bank update of the day. I believe it's got some football news on it, but from the Missouri Valley Football Conference, not the Big Ten.
Seven Northern Iowa Panthers were recognized by the Missouri Valley Conference on its preseason squads, headlined by two seniors, defensive back Malcolm Washington and linebacker Jared Farley, being named first-team selections. Running back Trevor Allen, offensive lineman Cal Twait, DB Elijah Campbell, punter Sam Cooter, and return man Jalen Reimel were all given honorable mention, giving them a league-high five players on that team. Former Cyclone Matt Thomas spent his summer turning in some stellar shooting for the Lakers Summer League team, and yesterday it was announced that he'd reached a deal with the Spanish club Obradoro. He opted to sign internationally because he says he didn't like the idea of playing in the G League without an NBA contract. The Iowa State baseball tournament continues today with Class 3A quarterfinals, including Marion squaring off with Dubuque Wallert. That game's in progress right now, and I'll give you an update on that one when it goes final. The Colonels are off today after a 3-1 loss to Lansing in the series finale yesterday and are traveling to Peoria as they prepare for a three-game series with the Chiefs. The Minnesota Twins lost to the Dodgers 6-4 last night thanks to a late three-run home run by Cody Bellinger, but they're back out there tonight for Game 2 of that three-game series. The Twins turn to Jose Barrios to take on Kenta Maeda, and that game's going to be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, starting shortly after 9 o'clock.
Did we just have a gopher invasion?
We did. I believe Rodney Smith,
wingman,
their 1,000-yard rusher, just took a little bit of Twizzlers from us, and we're glad that he did. And hopefully, by the end of the day, they'll all be gone. But I'm starting to have my worries.
We didn't really talk a whole ton about him with P.J. Fleck yesterday, but I know that's a guy that you're looking forward to seeing in the Big Ten West this year, Rodney Smith. And when we have talked about Minnesota, some of the discussion has gone back to, remember the Glenn Mason years when Minnesota was really good at running the football and they had Barber and Maroney? Well, Smith can sort of maybe be that guy up there if they can get a stout offensive line in front of them. And I'm not a huge fan of pushing people to the podcast, but I think when it's definitely worth checking out, you do that. And if you didn't catch P.J. Fleck with us yesterday, he talked about a lot of the things that made Western Michigan successful under his watch and some of the things that he'd like Minnesota to do as far as taking care of the ball goes. And I think a big part of that is running the ball, keeping it on the ground, trying to limit turnovers. And so from that standpoint, Rodney Smith is going to be a huge part of that game.
Yes, he will. And I think beyond that, you're looking at the Big Ten kind of getting back to their roots this year. You look around the conference, and I'm not just talking about Saquon Barkley at Penn State running the football, but there are a lot of dynamic running back duos across the conference. You look at Justin Jackson at Northwestern. You look at Rodney Smith at Minnesota, Akram Wadley and James Butler at Iowa. So with the new spread offense, I think that there's obviously room for that in the Big Ten, and it's brought a new dynamic to the Big Ten. But this year, kind of getting back to the roots of ground and pound, and it shows with the amount of good running backs in the league.
I think we're probably a little guilty of this here on the program today as well as yesterday, but certainly we're not the only ones. A lot of talk about the Big Ten East and not a whole lot of talk about the Big Ten West, and in particular, very little buzz for Iowa here in Chicago. A little bit yesterday with Kirk Ferentz and the players bouncing around from podium to Radio Row and all of that. But the Hawkeyes, a lot of people see them as a fourth-place team in the Big Ten. We're going to talk a little bit about that with some of our guests today, including Scott Docterman from the Land of Ten. He'll join us in a little over an hour. Dan Murphy of ESPN.com scheduled to be with us at 5 o'clock as well, although we'll see whether we can get him on the air or not. He's got a train to catch back to Ann Arbor, so we'll try to hook up with him. Plenty to come today. James Laurinaitis and Braylon Edwards, a couple really successful former Big Ten football players who are going to try to become really successful broadcasters on the BTN. But coming up next, it's Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell. You'll hear from him here on Radio Row as our coverage of Day 2 of Big Ten Media Days continues from Chicago after this.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, or all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
Engine dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, LeBron James not pleased with how he's been portrayed in the reporting of the trade request of teammate Kyrie Irving. James today tweeted hashtag not facts people, directed at an online story which quoted ESPN's Stephen A. Smith. Smith is emphatically standing by his reporting, which includes saying sources in James' camp told him LeBron would be attempted to beat Kyrie in regards to the trade request. NFL police in Virginia say the man charged with shoplifting on June 22nd was not former Cowboys receiver Lucky Whitehead, as they previously indicated. The man arrested didn't have ID on him and verbally provided the name, date of birth, and social security number of Whitehead. Police apologized to Whitehead and his family. The Cowboys released Whitehead yesterday, citing a pattern of recent behavior. Baseball, from Wrigley Field, Cubs starter John Lackey hit three White Sox batters at the top of the fifth to load the bases this afternoon. Tim Anderson grounded into a fielder's choice, ended that part of the inning. Bottom of the fifth, White Sox reliever Chris Beck hit the first batter he faced, Cubs second baseman Ian Happ. Cubs currently lead the White Sox 4-2 in the top of the sixth.
Get your large two-topping Pizza Hut pizza for just $7.99. Call now to carry out or order online for delivery. Oven hot pizza, fast every time, because no one out-pizzas the hut.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. And right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and an STP filter for just $23.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. I'm KFC's Extra Crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my extra crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded extra crispy chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
When smart businesses need to grow their team, they do it on the site proven to deliver, Indeed.com. According to an independent study, Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site, more hires than the rest combined. And right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job, boosting your listing and relevant search results. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM. Come on, baby, don't
you wanna go? Welcome back to Big Ten Media Days and the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn. Big thank you to Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, our sponsor for the entire Countdown to Kickoff series. Well, football season kicking off with Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. And sitting with us now here on Radio Row, a guy whose name keeps popping up on all of these watch lists. He made another one on Monday. Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell with us. Josie, how was your summer?
Good. It's been good so far. Went by fast, though. I mean, it's already some last weeks in July, and, you know, you got to savor some of that time.
Josie, if I would have told you in 2013, when you were one of the last recruits taken in that class, that 5 years later you'd be almost a unanimous preseason All-American, would you have believed me?
No, definitely not. We were talking about, you know, our upcomings and what we came out of high school looking like just on the ride over here with, on the ride to Chicago from Iowa City. And, you know, coming up as a freshman and even coming up, you know, senior year, I didn't know if I was going to go anywhere. Big, I guess, like, you know, Iowa. I thought I was going to go to Luther or something like that. And then coming onto the team, I mean, there were some good guys, and, you know, I didn't feel too confident in my play. I saw some other guys that were playing very well, and I just hoped to get on the special teams. So it's been a turn of events.
How have you handled the extra attention? Because I know, you know, you're on these watch lists and you get pulled different directions on Radio Row, and have you changed at all as far as the extra attention?
No, you know what? I try to stay consistent with that. You try to block some of it out and just realize, you know, you try to bring in some of the negativity. I mean, you can put out positivity. You can look at, let's go team-wise, you think about Michigan game, but then you think about the Penn State game. That's kind of how I do my individual kind of thing. That's how kind of my dad has taught me to think. Even if, you know, maybe you're the big guy or you're, you know, getting all the attention, you still have to act like one of the most humble guys, and you have to be one of the most humble guys because you never know what can happen, and you're never perfect. So, I mean, there's always things to work on. There's always things to get better on, and you got to understand, you know, you always can get better, and you just have to be ready to work your butt off.
With the linebacker position being as experienced as you guys are, what kind of leadership role do you take on?
Yeah, I mean, we look back, and, you know, we look at our freshman year. We see James Morris. We see Christian Kirksey. We see Anthony Hitchens, and that's who you think about when you think when we thought about it. You have to realize, you know, what they brought to the table our freshman year, and how vital they were to our success now. Really, I mean, they've brought in so much experience that gave us, you know, the hope and the understanding of what's to come. I mean, to look at them, you know, our freshman year was amazing to see, you know, what they did. And, you know, how they went about their business. So I think they gave us a great platform, you know, and great understanding of what leadership's about at the University of Iowa.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell joining us on Radio Row at Big Ten Media Day. I want to ask you about this. I read the story Mark Emmert at the Des Moines Register did on your grandfather a couple days ago. Really interesting. If people haven't read it, what did he mean to you? And you're trying to honor him in your football career.
Yeah, I mean, he was a guy he really inspired me. You know, maybe I didn't see some of his glory days, you know, his high school days and stuff like that. I heard stories, though, of what kind of guy he was. And you could just see it exemplified, you know, in his older years, you know, with him, how he held himself, how humble the guy was, how hardworking he was. I mean, everything was just down to the detail, very detailed guy. And, you know, why not look up to a guy like that? It's tough. And I just, you know, the stories I've heard that have just been insane about him. But he was just a great role model growing up. And, you know, talking to him every Sunday when we went to Mass, after Mass, and we ate at my grandparents' house. And just being able to connect with your grandfather like that was amazing.
We'll get back to the football for just a second. You guys are inexperienced at spots, and you're very experienced at certain spots. Offensive line, you're very experienced. Defensive line, linebacker, you're inexperienced on the back end of the defense. Quarterback, wide receiver, there's inexperience. How does that dynamic kind of mesh team-wise?
Yeah, I mean, every year you lose guys. Every year you bring new guys in. So that's really just how you're going to blend together. And that really helps, you know, if you do it over the summer. So, I mean, over the summer so far, I think we've blended pretty well with each other. And then it really comes into camp. How well do you play with each other? How well do you communicate with each other day in, day out? Doesn't matter. Sometimes it's not even on the football field. But if you communicate off the football field with each other, you get to know each other better. You understand what the guy next to you can do. So really, I mean, it's cool to see these new guys come up. I mean, you're always going to have new guys. And you just have to understand what they can do and what they can't do and how they can help you. So, I mean, it's going to be cool to see what they can do this year, and we got a lot of talent.
Speaking of, the media guide always comes out at Big Ten Media Day. It's always got the updated depth chart in it, so it's the first time that people were reacting to seeing it. But what can you tell us about Jack Hockaday, the guy who's listed behind you on the depth chart?
Yeah, I mean, he's a tough kid. You know, he's pretty smart in what he does on the field, too. You know, he might not be the smartest book guy or the book smart guy, but he understands, you know, football. He understands where to be at the right time. He just has that football instinct, which a lot of the guys on the football team have, but he does a really good job at that, so I think that's why he's done so well.
Ben Neiman, Bo Bauer, what's it like playing along those guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to play with some guys that have experience. I mean, it's like my sophomore year, I played with, you know, Quentin Alston, I played with Travis Perry, Cole Fisher, all those guys, even the junior year, with all those other two guys. And, you know, building a relationship with each other and understanding it goes back to what they can and can't do and understanding how they're going to communicate and how they're going to, you know, help you out or how you're going to help them out. So it's going to be interesting this year to see what we can do together and what our defense can do.
How much have you been working with Seth Wallace? I know Kirk mentioned last week that he's working with the linebackers and sort of has the title of assistant defensive coordinator, I think, along with Phil Parker. What's his involvement been like with the group so far?
Yeah, I mean, he does a lot of things with us, definitely trying to look to get us better every single day, not trying to take a day off. You know, some guys would think maybe the coaches won't communicate with you. Maybe they'll be doing off recruiting or something else. But he stays with us, you know, helps us understand the defense more, helps us understand other people's offenses more. And he's a guy that's totally bought into the program, which is awesome. To be able to see a coach that really is leading us, and he's showing us how he's doing that because he's giving, you know, us all the time, more time than other coaches maybe you've seen in the past or on other teams. So it's just awesome to have, you know, a coach like him that, you know, he'll go balls out for you.
You mentioned the secondary and the inexperience in the secondary. You lose some really good players back there, but you return Miles Taylor. What kind of tone does he set on the back end?
Yeah, I mean, Miles, he's a physical guy. He has a little craziness to him, which is totally fine. But he's a physical guy. He comes ready to play every day. He'll bring some intensity. Sometimes if we lack it in practice, he'll be the guy to get on your butt. And that goes right along with Jake DeVos and Brandon Snyder. They all three of them, and there's more to say about a couple other guys, that they just bring the intensity every day, and if it's lacking, they're going to show it, and they're going to bring it out in everybody. So, I mean, any of those guys can play, and I'm just excited to see them, you know, on this upcoming year.
He'll ask you about the secondary. I'll ask you about the guys who are playing up in front of you, because you've got some experience up there as well.
Yeah, some great guys up in front of us. I mean, you got Nate Budgeta, who has just been awesome, been consistent. That's the huge thing with him. He's been consistent over the past years. And then you got the guys like Parker Hesse. Then you got the Nelson guys. And really, it's awesome to see those guys come back every year and get better and be able to, you know, they're getting bigger. They were younger, you know, last year, and now they're getting bigger and more experienced. So every year it looks better, and I just can't wait to see that too.
You guys really buckled down defensively after the Penn State game last year. What changed for you then, and what do you hope to carry into 2017, the way you guys played down the stretch, especially during the regular season?
Yeah, I don't know really exactly what happened about that. You know, you try to think you're focused all the time. You try to think you're giving 100%, and I think we were. But that just was really an eye-opener for us to see that happen. And, you know, you shouldn't need that as a team, an eye-opener. You shouldn't need a big loss to, you know, make you fight hard or anything like that. But I think that was one of the bigger eye-openers we ever had, especially when I've been on the team, is a loss like that. And we just, you know, tried to come closer as a team, tried to stay more focused, tried to understand, you know, some of the negatives that come out of that game and try to make them positives and try to exploit the other team in different ways. So really, I mean, I think that was an eye-opener for us the rest of the season, and really we didn't want anything like that to happen again.
The last time you guys were on the field as a team, it was at the Outback Bowl losing to Florida. Have you guys been able to move on from that?
Yeah, I mean, you move on it from a little bit. You always hold it in the back of your head just to remember, you know, what happened, how it happened, and how to become better. So you always look back at games like that, especially if it's your last game before the next season coming. You're going to look back at that game and understand, you know, that's the most recent game you've had, and how can you become the best player possible from that game.
Well, Josie, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here at Big Ten Media Day, and I know Iowa's Media Day is, I think, about 2 weeks away, so we'll probably catch up with you a little bit then. And the next thing you know, you guys are going to be game planning for Josh Allen in Wyoming in the season opener. How much have you read any of the clips about him? He's supposed to be one of the top quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, I've heard some stuff about him, but all you really got to just do is put on the tape, and you see him. He's a great player, so we're definitely have to be ready for him. He's versatile. He can run and he can throw the ball pretty well. So, you know, you got to be ready for the guys like those, and they're tough to defend.
An opener right around the corner at Kinnick Stadium. Josie Jewell, Iowa linebacker, joining us here at Radio Row at Big Ten Media Day. Appreciate the time, Josie. Best of luck to you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
The wide receiver at 6 o'clock tonight as things still winding down, but there's Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald walking past the table, a budding rivalry between the Hawkeyes and the Wildcats, and Fitz is always a busy guy here in Chicago. They're the hometown team.
And
they've got the billboards to proclaim it here in Chicago, and I don't know if the city has ever actually embraced the Wildcats, who play their games to the north in the Evanston suburb, but he should have a pretty interesting team this year as well. And another, we talked running backs earlier about Rodney Smith at Minnesota. Justin Jackson, in his final season wearing a Northwestern uniform, has a chance to be one of the best running backs in the Big Ten this year.
He really does, and that was a name that I brought up when we were talking about running backs and Rodney Smith during that last segment. But you asked Josie Jewell about that bowl game against Florida. And I think one of the more interesting questions that I had seen asked during this two-day Big Ten Media Day session was to the guy who just walked by us and Coach Fitzgerald. I think somebody asked him basically to the effect of, would you rather win or lose a bowl game? Because if you lose a bowl game, is your team more hungry? And Coach Fitzgerald gave a kind of a chuckling answer, basically saying, yeah, I'm going out on a limb here and saying that I'd probably rather win the game.
Speaking of bowls, we were supposed to have the executive director of the Football Bowl Association, Wright Waters, with us at some point here today, but I don't think that that's going to happen. And I was going to ask him if there was anything we could do to help Iowa on the bowl front, because it's been a while since the Hawkeyes have had success in a bowl game. And that Florida Outback Bowl last year, I think, still leaves a bitter taste in the mouths of a lot of the fans But it's pretty clear over the last day and a half, 2 days here in Chicago and talking with Kirk Ferentz and some of the players that they've moved on. And I know some fans don't like that mentality, but this is a new season for them, 2017. They don't care that they lost to Florida in the Outback Bowl or the Tennessee loss in the Taxslayer Bowl or the Rose Bowl loss to Stanford in between. The bottom line is, bowl-wise, not only has Iowa not really been competitive over the last 3 years, those three games have been almost downright embarrassing for the Hawkeyes. So it's going to be interesting to see this year how many wins they can put on the board. But then what happens at the end of the year? I think this team really needs to get that monkey off their back as far as winning a bowl game. And whether it's in Pasadena, which I don't believe will be the case this year because that's one of the college football playoff final four spots this year. But wherever they go in the postseason, if they win six or more games, five games, depending on, that was another question that I wanted to ask Wright Waters about, having to take five-win teams like North Texas, who winds up on Iowa's schedule this year in the non-conference season, just because they need to fill all of these spots for the bowl games. But when you're here for 2 days and you've got a limited number of windows where you can talk to people, sometimes it's tough to get everybody that you want to. And we mentioned yesterday, we sort of teased Brady Quinn. Brady's schedule changed, I believe, so we're not going to be able to talk with the former Notre Dame quarterback and former Cleveland Brown. But he's part of the new Fox Sports lineup. A lot of new faces on both Fox Sports 1 as well as on the BTN this year. And a couple of the BTN guys are going to be joining us. We haven't mentioned this, but since Pat Fitzgerald just walked by, Corey Wooten, a former Northwestern player, is the third new member to the analysts team at the BTN. But we're going to be talking with a couple of those guys coming up. 5:30 today, former Ohio State linebacker James Laurinaitis. And then at 6:30 today, we'll close our coverage with former Michigan wide receiver Braylon Edwards, former New York Jet Braylon Edwards, who I think I saw walking around earlier today with one of the nicer watches I've ever seen. Let's just put it this way. You can tell Braylon spent some time and made some money in the NFL. Of course, he was the number three overall.
That's correct. He's number three overall pick in 2005.
And went on to have a very nice career in the NFL. Back-to-back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons for Braylon Edwards when he was at the University of Michigan. James Laurinaitis, the only player in Big Ten history to ever be named Defensive Player of the Year twice. I mean, two really impressive guys, and I know there are going to be some skeptical BTN watchers out there that are saying, here we go, Ohio State and Michigan, just what we need, more of their representation on the network. But I have a feeling, James Laurinaitis and Braylon Edwards are both going to be able to separate themselves to a certain extent. And you follow the Kirk Herbstreit model.
I was going to say.
Of approaching calling games involving your alma mater, because I think Herbie's one of the best in the business. And, those guys, I think, will do a good job moving forward. I'm sorry I got distracted there because Doug was walking by. And when I said best in the business, I think he thought I was talking about him. He doesn't know this, but we took his chair yesterday, and I'm sitting in Doug of Doug and Daddy's chair, and he's sitting elsewhere. We also replaced his coffee with Folger's Crystals. 351. Rob Norton got the reference. We'll step aside, come back. We'll have another big board update. We got the state baseball tournament going on at Principal Park as well today. Marion in action in Class 3A play. Perhaps Kyle will have an update on that, as well as what's going on at Wrigley Field between the Cubs and the White Sox. I believe they've stopped throwing at each other. We'll have a score update for you when we come back. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Day two of our coverage at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place for Big Ten Media Day. We'll return after this.
It's the main event at the Coralville Used Car Superstore. On the phone, Josh Orthel. And Josh, I hear you're the price crusher.
With over 2,000 used vehicles, we've KO'd high prices for the 10 count.
All right, price crusher, what you got?
Budget Boulevard cars from $6,000, incredible selection under $10,000, and zero down.
And big time selection. The Coralville Used Car Superstore is rocking.
No question. When you can shop pre-owned Chevys, Toyotas, Fords, Hondas, Jeeps, Nissans, cars, trucks, and SUVs.
And when you can shop with guaranteed credit approval.
Bad credit doesn't put you down for the count. Team up with us. You win.
budget buys from $6,000, huge selection under $10,000 when you buy a car.
It's not how much you spend, it's how much you save. And when it comes to saving you more, we are the champions.
At the Price Crush in Coralville Used Car Superstore, you save a lot.
Across from Randy's Flooring, knockout savings online at McGrathAuto.com.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM. Come on,
baby, don't you wanna go? And we're back in Chicago, and there's one of the men of the hour looking good. He calls that his Sid Hartman jacket, by the way. Minnesota coach P.J. Fleck making his way past Media Row for the last time today as they head back to the Twin Cities. And again, he was one of the stars here at Chicago's Big Ten Media Day. And you can talk about Big Ten football all you want and whether the conference is down or where it's at nationally. But the one thing, and P.J. talked about this today during his time at the podium, is part of his job, part of the reason why the University of Minnesota is paying him so much money is to get publicity and draw attention to the University of Minnesota. And you can definitely say that he has done that. I mean, it was a very interesting dynamic today between yesterday with Kirk Ferentz and Urban Meyer and some of the old guard in the Big Ten. And then today you had Michigan's Jim Harbaugh and P.J. Fleck at Minnesota, both with their podium time as well today. And I know he was a big hit at the Big Ten's luncheon as well. We've got a final to pass along to you from Principal Park in Des Moines, Class 3A state tournament play. We'll let Kyle Mann do that on his next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Seven Northern Iowa Panthers were recognized by the Missouri Valley Conference on its preseason squads, headlined by two seniors, defensive back Malcolm Washington and linebacker Jared Farley being named first-team selections. Running back Trevor Allen, offensive lineman Cal Twait, DB Elijah Campbell, punter Sam Cooter, and return man Jalen Rima were all given honorable mention, giving them a league-high five players on that team. Former Cyclone Matt Thomas spent his summer turning in some stellar shooting for the Lakers summer league team, and yesterday it was announced that he'd reached a deal with the Spanish club Abordero. He opted to sign internationally because he says he didn't like the idea of playing in the G League without an NBA contract. And this comes less than a week after Deontay Burton signed in Korea. The Iowa State baseball tournament continues today with Class 3A quarterfinals, including Marion squaring off with Dubuque Wallert. Wallert emerged the victor in that one just a little bit ago, 5-4, after a walk-off hit by Joey Callahan. They'll play the winner of Helan and Seidel. The Colonels are off today after a 3-1 loss to Lansing in the series finale yesterday, and they're traveling to Peoria as they prepare for a three-game series with the Chiefs. The Minnesota Twins lost to the Dodgers 6-4 last night thanks to a late three-run home run by Cody Bellinger, and they're back out there tonight for game two. That'll be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, shortly after 9 o'clock. And right here in Chicago, the Crosstown Series, the Cubs just tacked on one more after a single by Willie Contreras. They lead the White Sox 5-2.
The Bartolo Colon era continues to fascinate me because he has now faced Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers and Cody's father, Clay Bellinger, who was in the majors 17 years ago. And he also has faced both managers in that series, in Dave Roberts of the Dodgers and his own manager, Paul Molitor. I don't know how much longer he can keep going, but it's still fun to have Bartolo Colon on the scene moving forward. And we're going to have a lot of baseball to talk about when we get back from Chicago, because in addition to things wrapping up at Wrigley Field and what the Cardinals are doing down in St. Louis now with Dexter Fowler on the disabled list, well, today's July 25th, and that means that the MLB trade deadline is only 6 days away. So if the Cubs are going to do something, we saw the Royals yesterday make a really interesting trade for pitching with the San Diego Padres. So they've gotten hot, and they've decided that they're going to try to make a run for this. There's going to be some deals going down over the course of the next week, and we'll try to get Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com on the program with us to break it all down. When we come back, We're going to have with us on Radio Row here a new face in the Big Ten West. He had to sit out last year after transferring from Tulane, but he's running the offense in Lincoln, Nebraska for the Cornhuskers this year. Tanner Lee will be with us as our Big Ten Media Day coverage continues after this.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on